Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble, Noble with a K, filling in for Aaron Flint here today, tomorrow, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. I'm an attorney here in Billings. I'm also online content creator doing political analysis online at twitch.tv/lecturefan, on YouTube at LCTRFAN. You don't want to miss it. We were talking about this millionvoices.org candidate fact sheet that has been put out with respect to the Sheehy tester race. Aaron Flint's got it posted. Highly recommend getting this thing. We were just talking about yard signs and do those work on it. Here's what I'm doing, folks. Number one, I printed off Tim Sheehy's Bronze Star for Valor citation and have read that out loud in its entirety to multiple people. And here's why. Okay? Because the media won't report it, obviously. And then number two, Tim Sheehy is too good of a man and too humble to brag about it. And so I'm taking it upon myself to spread the word. I know Aaron Flint has read it on the radio show as well. And here's the thing. Okay. What that shows is it shows that everything that they say about Tim Sheehy is a lie. They want to paint him as some, you know, rich, spoiled punk kid. It's like, no. Here's the truth about who he really is. And he had to overcome his own body's resistance to do what he did. And if he can do that, and if he can overcome that to literally put his own life in danger for a fellow American soldier, what will he do for us in the United States Senate? But here's on policy issues. Let's start with inflation. Who's in favor of cutting regulations to bring down prices? Tim Sheehy is. John Tester? No. Who's in favor of sanctuary cities? John Tester supports sanctuary cities and migrant flights. Tim Sheehy doesn't. Who supports American energy independence and protecting drilling and fracking? Actually, they've got Tester and Sheehy agreeing on that one. What about providing health care and housing to illegal aliens? Tester's on board with that. Sheehy's not. What about vaccines, EV mandates, government control, government forcing vaccines, forcing EVs on the American people? Tester supports that. Sheehy doesn't. What about requiring medical care for babies, literal babies that are born alive, babies born alive after a botched abortion? Tester disagrees with that. Tester does not believe that a baby born alive after a botched abortion should have the right to life-saving medical care. Sheehy does agree. I still think, man, one of the things that really sticks with me when I hear about this stuff is when Aaron Flint had that woman on this show who was an abortion survivor, and she survived attempts to murder her when she was a baby, and she survived abortion, and she came on the show and talked about it, and wow, was that powerful. And to have John Tester being opposed to life-saving care for babies born alive after a botched abortion like that, what happened to that woman that Aaron Flint had on the show, is disgusting, Tester.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. With just 2 months before the election, congressional Republicans are trying to remind voters that Vice President Harris played a role in various foreign policy debacles, like the Middle East and the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. Republicans believe the administration mishandled the Middle East crisis. They argue that contributed to instability in the region, prompting the attacks on October 7th. The GOP hopes to convert this into a campaign issue in the fall. The Democrats defend the administration. They hope the Biden-Harris team can still calm tensions in the Middle East, bring home the hostages, and broker a ceasefire. Such a move could boost Vice President Harris and her bona fides in the race against former President Trump. But Afghanistan is not going away. The dust-up at Arlington Cemetery with former President Trump actually served as a partial reminder that the withdrawal came on the Biden-Harris watch. House Speaker Mike Johnson plans to present the 13 Americans killed at the Abbey Gate in Afghanistan with the Congressional Gold Medal. And a report on the withdrawal from Afghanistan is due within days. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got a message from Jay in Billings. By the way, folks, open phones, and you know me, I let the callers loose on this show. So 406-294-0970 if you want to be on the show. Jay in Billings says, your explanation of American patriotism, America first, American business and economy first, 100% agree. What is the difference between those statesmen who protect our liberty and way of life versus the globalist agitators who advance their New World Order utopia by crisis, restrictive regulations, and excessive debt? United Nation ideology had a wedding with Alinsky rules for radicals. The children of that marriage are destroying our nation. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's important for us to say it, right? And for us to all accept it. Because I'm sure the left-wing Democrats out there would love to try to say that this is somehow controversial or racist or whatever else. But no, let's just openly say it. I care more about the American citizen than I do about anybody that's not an American citizen. I want what's best for American citizens. If you're not an American citizen, I still love you. I'll treat you with kindness and respect. I'll expect you to follow our laws here, especially if you're an immigrant in this country legally. We love you. You're welcome here. But we're still going to put government policies in place that benefit the American citizen at the expense of anybody else. I'm not a citizen of the world. I'm an American citizen, and I care about American citizens first, and that's patriotism. And let's just be honest about it. Okay, so when all these debates start happening on policy and immigration policy, and they all start talking about, well, what about these people and what about those people, you know who I care about? The American citizen. Let's talk about what policies put the American citizen's interest first. And it's not that we don't care about anybody else. It's simply that we care more about the American citizen. Let's put in place a foreign policy, an economic policy, regulations, and everything else that is designed first and foremost to do good by the American citizen. And if it's not the best policy for non-American citizens, well, so be it. We don't care, because what we want from our government is we want policies that place Americans' interests first, period. That's Hamiltonian patriotism. That's American first foreign policy. And it's got to be said. I don't know why it isn't just said more often. There's almost sort of this unwritten assumption amongst Democrats and the mainstream media, aka the same thing. But there's this unspoken assumption that we have to take in the interests of non-citizens the same as we take into account the interests of citizens. And I fundamentally disagree with that, and Walter Russell Mead does, and Alexander Hamilton does, or did, and Donald Trump does. And so let's just be honest about this, can we? And let's just say, we actually do value the American citizen and what's best for them more than non-citizens. Again, just classic patriotism is all that is. Let's go to Gary in Billings. Gary, thanks so much for calling.
Good morning, David. Thank you for taking the call and thanks for the good show you do.
Thank you.
When I watch these negative commercials against our great candidate, Tim Shee, and they accuse him of going to take away your land, your rights, and my recommendation to Tim is to respond like, well, I have to call John Tester to see how he gets away with his lies, but yet I'm being forced to succumb to producing me something I'm not doing.
Wait, say that last part again. I didn't quite follow.
I was saying that what I would recommend to Tim is to respond to the negative ads that he's putting out there against him, trying to take away your land, your whatever, you know.
Right.
So I recommend that he calls John Tester to see how he gets away with his lies, because I don't lie and want to help the people.
I see what you're saying. So basically turn it around and or are you saying first he should address the lies and say, okay, that's a lie about me, that's not true. And then second of all, Tester's also lying about what he believes. Is that what you're saying, basically?
Yeah, kind of flip-flop back in his face. Because, see, your news media is always going to cover up. And Tim Shee is such a great man for to be a candidate, but they run him down for everything he stands for his family, the country, for us. But Tester seemed like he can lie and get away with it. And when you look at God created the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet another man's wife, you know. But it's okay for the Democrats to get away with it, but if you're a Republican, you're subject to lies.
That is true. That is well said. The only thing I'll say is the Democrats won't get away with it because they will be judged. And not by me or you, Gary, but they will be judged on a little something called Judgment Day. That'll happen. But no, I think that's good advice. It's like, yeah, respond to the lies. Say that's not a lie. I mean, the whole thing about like, oh, you know, she wants to steal your public land is such BS garbage. The reality is that the Democrats are the ones that are basically taking away our public land. The Democrats, the Tester Harris regime, they're the ones that are shutting down roads so we can't drive into the national forest anymore. They want Americans, or they want people, Americans, anybody, not in the forest, not in the... That's why they shut down trails. That's why they won't rebuild footbridges. That's why they shut down roads. When I like to go out into the woods, I like to drive up there, and then you find a dead-end road.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was a ton of media coverage about how Donald Trump and now Kamala Harris have tried during the primaries to rile up their bases. But suddenly, it's really cool to be a centrist. No question about it. They're both moving to the middle. Now, there's more focus on Kamala Harris because the vice president has had to explain for the first time all these far-left positions she took 4 or 5 years ago without explanation, by abolition of private health insurance and things like that. On fracking, she said something that wasn't true, but she certainly is trying to project a more centrist image. Now, Donald Trump, in the space of a few days, came out for free IVF treatments for couples, legalizing recreational marijuana, and softening his position on abortion. That's how it works. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today and a few showers or thunderstorms possible, high temperature readings will range from the upper 70s in Bozeman to highs in the mid-80s in Billings. For tonight, isolated shower, thundershower chance early, then headed back in the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings, then staying sunny Thursday with highs of around 80. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
You can plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Well, according to USDA's weekly crop progress report that came out on Tuesday here this week, the winter wheat harvest is at 91% complete. That's 2 percentage points behind the 5-year average. As for the planting of the 2025 winter wheat crop, 1% of that has been planted. That's 1 percentage point behind the 5-year average as well. As for spring wheat harvest, 77% of that crop has been put up here in the Big Sky State. That's 2 points ahead of the 5-year average.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
The most recent U.S. Drought Monitor report for Montana indicates that abnormal dryness fell to 34%, down from 38% the previous week. Moderate drought conditions increased by 3 percentage points to 43%, while severe drought conditions were unchanged at 14%. I'm Lee Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We're taking phone calls, 406-294-0970. Tester will not be reelected is on the line. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you, David. Good morning, Montana. You're doing so good, and I'm happy to hear your voice, and always good to hear your perspective.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up this morning, since we're talking about political ads, and it's no joke, those political ads are just terrible that Tester puts out. They're always lies. We all know this. It's hard to hear, though, still over and over again, these ads. But I was wondering if you could maybe talk a little bit deeper about the public lands, because we all know that that's been debunked, that Tim doesn't want to, you know, turn over public lands and make them private. We all know that. But I was just wondering if this morning I could hear your perspective a little bit about a rebuttal. If somebody comes up and talks about how great Tester is with public lands and Tim wants to privatize them. So that's really all it was. Is could you dive into that a little bit for us this morning?
I'll do my best. I don't feel necessarily qualified to, you know, give an in-depth explanation on the issue. Not an expert on it. But I mean, the way I respond to it is basically kind of the way I just did, which is, number one, say, you know, it's not true. Second of all, I always point out that the Democrats have been attacking Republicans using the same line for as long as I've been paying attention, what, 30 years, 30 years. For the last three decades, every Republican candidate for office in this state has been accused by Democrats of being against public lands and wanting to. And then I always bring up the fact, too, that actually the studies show that actually conservative Republicans use our public lands and are better stewards of our public lands and litter less on public lands and actually go camping and hunting and fishing much more than Democrats do. And so you really want to wonder who cares about the public lands. It's not the big city Democrats living in concrete jungles that dominate the Democrat Party and control John Tester from their billionaire houses in San Francisco. It's not them. It's us regular Montanans that like to spend our summers camping. This is one thing I asked on Twitter. When was the last time John Tester went camping? I would honestly like to know. When was the last time John Tester went camping in Montana, like an actual Montanan? I don't think has he ever gone. When was the last time John Tester went on a hike? When was the last time Tester went up to the Beartooth Mountain Range and went on a little hike? When was the last time Tester went fishing? I mean, does this guy do anything that Montanans like to do? Does John Tester ever use public lands? I mean, I honestly want to know. Has John Tester ever, once in his life, and he probably has once in his life, gone and actually enjoyed our public lands here in Montana? Has he ever gone camping? Has he ever gone? I mean, because all I ever see him doing is sipping vodka crayons at the Bistro Cacao in Washington, D.C., or living high on the hog in his million-dollar-plus mansion in D.C. while we all struggle back here just to go to the grocery store. I mean, so. But in terms of policy, it's just not true. There's one part of it that where they get this stuff from is the idea that the idea from conservatives that Montanans, that the people that live in Montana, that we should have some say over how the lands that are owned by the federal government are managed in this state. And that's not controversial. That's not calling to privatize public lands or sell off our public lands. No, that's saying that the actual people that live here, that we should have some say in what goes on these federally managed. And of course, the federal government is absolutely incompetent, grossly incompetent at managing these federal lands, which is why we're all like, hey, give us a say in what is going on, because we live here. We live with this. We actually use it. We actually go to the national forest in the wilderness areas. We're the ones that we go on. I've gone on a hike just this summer in the mountains where you're walking along in the forest or the wilderness, and all you can see in all directions for as far as you can see is just massive amounts of deadfall. And what you can't even walk through our forest. You literally cannot even walk through most of the national forest in this state because there's so much basically fuel laying on the forest floor, down trees, old trees. It's incredible. It's the incompetence of managing these lands is really, really horrific. And so when people say, hey, you know, maybe the people in Montana know something about this since they're actually there and actually have the expertise and actually live here, maybe they should have a say. Oh, you want to privatize? No, we don't want to privatize it. In fact, we're the ones that actually use it and enjoy it, unlike you guys. No, we want to manage it properly. We want to have roads that we can use. Now, that's the other thing that really bugs me about this issue. They want to attack conservatives and Republicans for wanting to get rid of public lands or whatever. It's the Democrats that are limiting our access to it. How many times have you wanted to use public lands? You can't because Democrats put a... Wow, well, there you go, folks. Kamala Harris wants to debate Trump, but now this is so funny. So first, they wanted to debate Trump, and we're going to mute the mics. We're going to mute the mics. And then Donald Trump beat Joe Biden so badly in that debate that Joe Biden had to literally drop out of the race. And so now Kamala Harris is like, okay, we want to debate, but we can't mute the mics. We can't mute the mics. It's just so obvious. I thought this was absolutely hilarious. So Bjorn Lomborg is, frankly, one of the best sources of accurate scientific information when it comes to global warming. He's the author of False Alarm, Skeptical Environmentalists. He's president of the Copenhagen Consensus. He's from Sweden. He's written a ton of books. He got this. He put this tweet out. This is actually quite interesting. Okay, so if you're in a vehicle crash, the heavier your own vehicle, the less you are likely to die, which is why most American families want big gas-powered vehicles, whether it's a big truck, a big SUV. We all know, just instinctively, we all know the bigger and heavier your vehicle, the safer it is. And that's backed up by the science and the data. Here's what's also true, though. The heavier the other car that you're in an accident with, the more risk of dying. So if you're in a car accident with a different vehicle and that other vehicle is very, very heavy, that increases the risk of dying. So Bjorn Lomborg asked the question, why would we want to switch to EVs, which are much, much, much heavier, when that clearly is going to result in more highway deaths? People were talking about, we had a caller yesterday on when Aaron was on talking about Vision Zero, which I guess I'm not for sure what that is. I thought that it was like a Montana Highway Patrol goal of basically having zero highway deaths here in Montana. I don't know much more about it beyond that. The caller had mentioned it was somehow connected to the UN Agenda 21, and it might be. I really don't know. But the idea being that, okay, so folks, we're here, we're trying to prevent highway deaths, we're trying to reduce vehicle deaths. Bjorn Lomborg points out switching to electric cars is more deadly and will result in more human death simply because they are so much heavier. And this is what the economic analysis says. For every life that the heaviest 1% of SUVs and trucks save, there are more than a dozen lives lost in other vehicles. So, in other words, you go out, you buy this massive heavy truck or SUV to protect your family. That's great. You're going to protect your family, and I encourage people to do it. But it also, you're also going to kill a lot more people who are driving around in tiny little smart cars and you know, tiny little buggies that get in a crash with you. But the point is, why replace all these light vehicles with these massive heavy EVs when we know for a fact it will result in more human death? And that's the Democrat policy right there.
Democracy 24.
Just north of downtown Denver is Colorado's 8th congressional district. Voters there sounding off on what top issue will decide their vote.
We spend way too much money on illegal aliens that come across the border.
The cost of living is just so high.
In the 8th district, Democratic incumbent Yadira Caraveo is competing against Republican Gabe Evans. The 8th district is one of 19 toss-up districts that could be crucial in determining who controls the House after November's election. Other districts are in 2024 battleground states like Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Political science professor Kyle Saunders says President Biden stepping aside and Vice President Harris, now as the Democratic nominee, could impact how some key House races play out on election day.
Prior to the change that the Democratic Party made between Biden and Harris, Democrats were very, very unexcited about the election.
In Thornton, Colorado, Kennedy Hayes, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Open phones 406-294-0970 if you want to be on the show. I'm going through the millionvoices.org candidate fact sheet that I think everybody should print out. Everybody always calls and says, hey, what can we do in this election? What can we do to help in this election? I've got a couple ideas. Number one, print out the Bronze Star for Valor citation of Tim Sheehy and read it to people and hand it out. Number two, screenshot and or print out the candidate fact sheet for the Tester Sheehy race and then hand that around or text that around. And we've gone through about half of these. And let me just go through the rest of these. Who supports males in female sports? Who supports men in women's sports? Tester supports that. Tim Sheehy doesn't. Who supports the transgender agenda? Bring gender education programs such as Drag Story Hour into grade schools. Tester supports that. Sheehy does not. Abortion. Who supports late-term abortion? And who supports taxpayer funding of abortion? Tester supports that. Sheehy does not. Who supports requiring an American citizenship and voter ID to vote? Require proof of citizenship to vote and an ID to vote. Sheehy agrees with that. Tester disagrees with that. Tester does not believe that you should require citizenship or voter ID to vote. Who supports Israel? Actually, Tester and Sheehy both support Israel. So you got to give credit where credit's due on that one. If that's even true, I'm surprised to hear that Tester actually supports Israel. But if so, good. Who supports gun confiscation? Government may take guns from law-abiding citizens via bans or quote-unquote mandatory buybacks, which is I refuse to refer to the gun confiscation as a buyback, quote-unquote buyback. Buying it back means that you were the one that sold it. Guess what? The federal government wasn't the one that sold me my gun. And so they can't buy it back. There's no such thing as a buyback when they didn't sell it to me. Now, the gun shop could buy it back from me. The federal government can't. And it's also not a – when it's mandatory – a buyback is a voluntary exchange. Mandatory buyback. It's a complete oxymoron phrase. And it's one of these classic things where the Democrats and the liberals, they abuse language to really try to twist things and to try to mislead people. They do it with the Bible all the time. One of my biggest pet peeves is the way leftist atheists will quote scripture and then twist it, misuse it to try to attack Christians. It's the same with all of this other stuff. They use language like a mandatory buyback, which in and of itself is wrong. And they'll use that, obviously, to promote their own agenda. Last one, protect religious freedom. Allow private business owners to opt out of providing services that violate their faith. Sheehy agrees with that. Tester disagrees with that. And so these are really important issues, and there's a fact sheet right there that lays out the policy positions. You can screenshot it and text it to other Montana voters. You can print it out and give it to other Montana voters. I'll be doing both of them. Let's go to Orville in Cowley, Wyoming. Orville, thanks for calling. Oh, are you there, Orville? Not coming through. We'll throw you back on hold there. Let's see. I don't know. Maybe Travis can pick up and see if you're still there. In the meantime, here's a little bit of good news, although the details on this one are definitely not good news. But from the Montana Free Press, lawmakers eye more prison beds. State facilities face a capacity shortage as inmate population surges. Which just had me wondering, okay, folks? We just saw that story that I think, you know, Aaron Flint and John Jackson talked about, how 75% of the arrests in New York City are illegal aliens. Illegal aliens, 75% of the arrests. And so here in Montana, our prisons and our jails are completely full. Here's my question. How many of the inmates and the prisoners in Montana jails and prisons, how many of them are quote-unquote migrants, quote-unquote illegal aliens, quote-unquote fraudulent asylum claimants, quote-unquote fake asylum, quote-unquote... How many of our... Anyway, this is what's insane about this. This is what's insane about it. Apparently, it costs $216,000 per prison bed. I'm like, what? $216,000 to put up a concrete wall and a little bench and a how? That's insane. There's more tester inflation. $216,000 per bed to build a prison. I mean, that to me is just outrageous. Let's go to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning, David. Just want to make a comment about elections in general. You know, there was a time, I remember 1960, Nixon against Kennedy, and it was mano y mano. You know, people comment about Nixon didn't look good on TV. But I mean, it was one person against another. Until Saul Alinsky came along in the 60s, and he basically laid out a long-range strategy for these socialists to take over academia, take over the media, take over the deep state, and use the CIA, the FBI, the Attorney General's office as tools to destroy your enemies. And the Democrats have taken that to heart, and they've done a great job with that the last 50 years. At this point in time, Trump isn't going up against Kamala Harris. I mean, she's an idiot. Trump didn't go up against Biden. He's an idiot. These people are just mouthpieces. They're controlled by a machine, a Democrat Party machine. She's a puppet. They tell her what to say. They tell her what to do. They could run a robot for president. But as long as they control all the machinery of government, you know, they can get an idiot elected. They don't care because she's just in it for her own, you know, ego. And, they're in it for the power and the control. They don't care who's heading the party. You know, nobody would elect Biden. Nobody would elect Kamala Harris. But it's the machine behind her. So Trump, you know, every Republican's got an uphill battle fighting this machine, particularly with another 10 to 12 million, million illegals that have poured in the country that they're going to want to make voters at some point in time. So races are a lot different than they used to be. We're going up against a party machine, not an individual candidate anymore.
No, that's it. Tom, let me ask you this, Tom. A really good point, I think. To me, also a big concern is even when Trump won or even when Trump wins, he gets into office and then the Democrats that exist within the career bureaucracy in D.C., academia, media. So even when the American people elect Trump and we specifically send Trump to Washington, D.C. to be president, to implement the policies that the American people support, and Donald Trump is the only legitimate voice in the White House because he's the one that people voted for, and yet he can't. And yet the career bureaucrats, the Democrat machine, they're all actively working against him, even though he is the voice of the people in right. D.C. That, right. to me, is also a concern. Do you agree with that?
Well, the things going on at the Montana state level. We elect a legislature that is a supermajority Republican. You know, every elected official in the state, except Tester, is a Republican. But important legislation goes to the Supreme Court, and it's all struck down. So
right.
that's why Democrats historically have wanted to control the judiciary, because they know how much power they have to thwart the will of the people, you know, with an activist judiciary. Look what went on with the Warren Court in the 50s and 60s. So they have a machine. At every level of government that they've implemented, it's a brilliant strategy. Like I say, Saul Alinsky, when they were bombing police stations in the 60s, he said, no, weather underground. The people are not ready yet. We need 50 years to educate them. Same thing went on in Russia. I mean, they killed Alexander II. I mean, it took 50 years for the terrorists to ultimately take over, you know, culminating in the Russian Revolution. So, you know, the same thing's happening in this country. While most of us are trying to make a living and trying to make it through life, these power-hungry, you know, maniacs.
You're spot on, Tom. We're up against the break. You're spot on, 100%. Well said. Here we go. I got some comments right back after
now,
this.
Now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free. These humans can stream all the top-rated national news channels on DirecTV, and now with no satellite dish.
This just in. Weather, sports, election coverage. DirecTV has it all, but something is missing. The satellite dish.
What are you doing?
I'm reporting the news. Back to you, Bob.
Here's some news. You're a buffoon.
Stream the top-rated national news channels. No satellite dish. Visit DirectTV.com. Internet required. Top-rated news based on 2023 Nielsen ratings.
Fox News commentary.
VP and presidential contender Kamala Harris appears to have a new press avoidance technique, and it's the most embarrassing one yet. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown. Every Monday and Friday, Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you. Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It's no secret that VP Kamala Harris, and more so her campaign aides, will do anything to prevent her from answering meaningful questions from the press. Late last week, she finally sat down for a formal interview, but she had to do it on a friendly network with her emotional support running mate awkwardly by her side. Now the Kamala campaign is back to doing what it does best, evasion. I gotta hand it to the campaign. They certainly are creative with their tactics. The latest technique appears to be headphones. The old I'm on an important phone call and can't be bothered shtick. In a now viral clip of Kamala exiting her vehicle before boarding Air Force Two, she used old-fashioned headphones, and for a reason, not because she can't afford AirPods, but to make her important phone call more noticeable. Clever, but is it really an acceptable avoidance strategy for a presidential candidate? I think not, Kamala. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
The rise of AI.
California is taking on artificial intelligence regulation in a first-in-the-nation bill that could set the tone for how the federal government approaches the space. The bill would require safety testing measures, as well as the ability to completely shut down the model. Further, it would allow companies to be held liable for significant damages caused by that AI. Now, the tech world is completely at odds over this. Many, like Elon Musk, say this is a tough but necessary call to prevent harm. Others say it would stifle innovation and argue states shouldn't regulate AI. Meta, for example, saying the bill, quote, would stifle AI development in California, hurt business growth and job creation, and break from the state's long tradition of fostering open source innovation. Next up, the bill will go to California Governor Gavin Newsom's desk to sign. While he hasn't publicly shared a stance yet, he is facing intense pressure from the tech and political worlds to veto it. Kelly O'Grady, Fox News.
Man, it is so obvious to spot the liberal media bias here in Montana. They never ask liberal Senator John Tester any tough questions. They never hold him accountable, yet they do this phony press release reporting for any fake news he wants to pump out there. Hey, I'll tell you what, Montana Talks, go to the Montana Talks website, go download the Montana Talks app, because we're going to deliver the stories.
Always get more coin from Artie's Coins.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Boy, we just had a great call from Tom in Bozeman putting out some great points. We all instinctively know what he said is true. These Democrat candidates are simply mouthpieces and figureheads. They can't think for them. And there's so much evidence of this, too. One example, look at the United States Supreme Court and look at the basically the analysis that goes into each of these decisions and how they're likely to come out. And you notice how the question is always, will one of the Republican-appointed justices vote with the liberals? The debate is never whether the Democrat appointees will vote with the Republican appointees. It's always the other way around. Every single Supreme Court case that comes out in a surprise, it's always the Republican appointee going over to the Democrat appointee side. Okay, it's never the other way around. The Supreme Court justices appointed by the Democrats, they vote lockstep, guaranteed 100%. You know exactly how they're going to vote every time. Whereas the Republican appointees are actually engaged in independent and critical thought. The Democrats are not. You see it within internal debates within the party. Look at the Republican Party. The Republican Party has some very serious and significant policy debates going on within the internal workings of the Republican Party at the state level and at the national level, whether it comes down to libertarian policies versus more traditional conservative policies, whether it comes down to, you know, populist policies versus more traditional conservative policies. But you have a healthy debate within the Republican Party. Okay, you don't have that on the Democrat Party. You either go in, you goose step lockstep with the Democrat Party talking points and with the Marxist policies, or you're thrown out. You're canceled. You go right along with the radical transgender agenda, the sexual perversion agenda, the Democrat Party and the left-wing atheists. You go right along with all that stuff, or else you get canceled and you're thrown out of the Democrat Party, period. There is no debate within the Democrat Party like there is within the Republican Party. And so, and on, you know, we could go on with more of these examples. But it proves Tom's point, which didn't need to be proved because we all know it's true instinctively. But when Tom says these Democrat candidates, whether it's Kamala Harris or John Tester, these people are not individuals. These people are puppets of the Democrat machine and the special money, the special interest and the money on the left. They are absolute pawns. They don't engage in independence. Look at the Republicans, on the other hand. Our Republican candidates, they actually are independent thinkers. They'll take positions that go against the party. That's common within the GOP. It doesn't happen in the Democrat Party. Does not happen. Of course, John Tester, he's actually been given permission to lie to Montana by pretending to be a hardcore Trump MAGA Republican, which is what the John Tester campaign is basically. Hey, vote for me, John Tester. I'm a hardcore conservative MAGA Trump Republican. That's the Tester campaign. He's been given that permission from the Democrats because they know that Tester has to lie to the Montana people to be elected. And so in exchange, Tester has promised, hey, Democrat Party, hey, DNC, hey, George Soros, hey, San Francisco liberal billionaire donors, Just let me go to Montana. Let me lie to the people of Montana. And then I promise, if I win this election in Montana by lying to them, by pretending to be a conservative MAGA Republican, and then I win, I promise when I go back to D.C., I'll go right back to how I was every single five-year cycle right before the election. Because he does this every 6 years, right? But for 5 years, he's a good Democrat. And then for 1 year, he's given the permission slip to pretend to be a conservative. And in exchange, he promises when he gets back to D.C. in 2025, if he's elected again, he'll go right back to voting 100% in line with the radical left-wing Destroy America agenda. Disgusting, disgusting stuff. Your favorite guest host, David Noble, in for Aaron Flint. We'll be right back.
Points.
I'm Evan Brown. September is National Suicide Prevention Month, and both firearm owners' rights groups as well as gun safety advocates are once again urging firearm owners to be proactive in securing their firearms when not in use in hopes of preventing self-harm. Second Amendment advocates are known for their insistence on lawful and safe ownership and use of firearms, and that means a renewed urging of gun owners to lock up their guns when not in use, especially when children are present in the home. While teaching kids to respect and properly use guns may be a parenting choice, parents should never let children handle firearms without supervision. There are lockable cabinets and boxes, even ones that lock biometrically, and some that send notifications to your phone if someone is trying to open them without authorization. Plus, many local gun clubs offer free trigger or cable locks. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.